this morning, I'm going to depart from our normal exposition of our verse-by-verse study of the Proverbs and revisit exactly what the Proverbs are. The man whom God used to pen them, and ultimately who gave them for our instruction. I want to do this because I want us to stay focused on what is so vital to our spiritual welfare. Regardless of our age. And again, not to lose sight of the Proverbs being given to Solomon by God and then set down in Scripture for all time for our day-to-day walk with God through this life. That means that each and every one of us, regardless of our age, the Proverbs can be easily understood. Some more difficult than others, but nonetheless, they are, as it were, a mine that is full of treasure. Solomon was very rich. He was a very rich king. And he was the son of a king. And yet, he addicted himself to the study of heavenly things. He was a prophet and a prophet's son. Matthew Henry says, "There is no discredit to the greatest princes and kings in the world to instruct those about them in religion and the laws of it." Now, as we read of David and we read of Solomon, that sounds, we don't have any problem with that at all. But what about today? What would it be like today if our leaders were to begin giving out the Word of God and seeking to instruct the people at large in the things of God? There would be absolutely outrage at such things. And yet, that's because of the sin of man. Solomon was one whom God gave an extraordinary measure of wisdom and knowledge. And he did this in answer to his prayer before taking the throne after the death of David his father. And let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, we see the order of things that are taking place here. "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel." If you as a parent were dying, it was time for your death, and you were to give this charge unto your children, that they might, as it says in verse 4, walk before me in truth. Walk before the Lord in truth, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So then turn over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 5. This is approximately, this was not right away, this was approximately a year later. And Solomon said, verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for counted, or nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hath asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise any like unto thee. Solomon was one who had faults. He had his faults, and in the latter end, he turned aside from the good ways of God, which in the book of the Proverbs, he had directed so many, and then he fell prey to some of those same sins. We have that account. Turn over to chapter 11 of 1 Kings. Verse 1 of chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did his father. A very sad thing to report, and all of this done in his old age. So, should we think that because we have studied the Word of God, and we've memorized the Word of God, and we have the Word of God, and now we become old, that we are no longer going to fall prey to any of the sins that we ourselves have preached against? This is a standing example. Matthew Henry says, "Let those who are most eminently useful take warning by this, not to be proud or secure. And let us all learn not to think the worse of good instructions, though we have them from those who do not themselves altogether live up to them." Solomon was one of these. The Proverbs at this time, this was a new way of writing the Proverbs. It was a way of writing in which divine wisdom was going to be taught to us by the use of these short proverbs. They are short sentences. They contain the whole meaning, all concentrated within themselves, while they are often not connected with other sentences. The Proverbs, as Matthew Henry says again, the Proverbs are a plain way of teaching. And they cost neither the teacher nor the hearer much pains, nor put their understandings or their memories to the stretch. Now, what does he mean by that? He says that the Proverbs, these short sentences that are given by God in Scripture throughout eternity for our learning, they are not putting the teacher at a great stretch to give them out, nor the one that would receive the word a great stretch of his mind in understanding them. So we give out the proverb, and the meaning of it is altogether right within those words. We have no book, says Matthew Henry, we have no book so useful to us as our devotions, as David's Psalms. So have we none so serviceable to us for the right ordering of our conversations or our lifestyle as Solomon's Proverbs, which, as David says, of the commandments are exceeding broad, containing in a little compass, just a little area, a complete body of divine ethics, politics, economics, exposing every vice, recommending every virtue, and suggesting rules for the government of ourselves in every relation and condition and every turn of our conversation. That's the Proverbs. Paul made the statement about reading the Proverbs every day, and how that's why I'm coming back to this as I am right now, lest we lose sight and we say, well, here we are and we're looking at another proverb. I don't want us to lose sight of the fact of who Solomon was and how God had given this man, above all men, other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the greatest wisdom and the greatest understanding of a human individual in the penning of the Proverbs, all given by God to Solomon to write for your instruction and for my instruction, for your edification and for my edification. That's what the Proverbs are. Not just our edification and our learning, but how we are to direct our life. how I am to walk out that door and to lead my life. How my speech is to be ordered by the Word of God. How the things in my life are to be refrained from, and how the things in my life are to be taken up. The scope of all this is one and the same: to direct us so to order our conversation aright, as that in the end we may see the salvation of the Lord. The best comment on those rules is to be three words: ruled by them. Ruled by them. The pulpit commentary says that the Proverbs teach what God requires of men, how God would have men behave in all of their circumstances in life. It teaches piety, duty, and justice. The king and the peasant, the old and the young, the learned and the ignorant, are hereby taught what is acceptable in their several stations, their ages, their stages of intellectual development, whatever it is, all are taught in the Proverbs. The motto of the whole can be found in Job 28:28. Turn over if you will, please. Job chapter 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So when you think to yourself, I need wisdom, I need understanding, then you say, well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what is understanding? To depart from evil. So when we're faced with a circumstance, whatever that circumstance may be, whatever it is, fear the Lord. Depart from evil. See, we become so involved, we become as that, and as Paul stated this morning, these are easy words to say, but when you find yourself in the circumstance itself, then things become a little more cloudy oftentimes because of our sin. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here you have the positive and you have the negative. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The more that we fear the Lord, the more wisdom you are going to have and understanding. But what about the fool? The fool despises knowledge and wisdom and instruction. See, as we come to the Proverbs, even as Paul stated today, that not to become so familiar with them that they no longer seem to say the same things to you or have the same impact upon you. We need to come afresh each time, and we need to have our understanding open that this is the Word of God from God to us. Again, the pulpit commentary states that the moral teaching of the book can be grouped under five different headings. the duty to God, duty to ourselves, duty to our neighbors, domestic duties, and duties relating to civil life and political economy. One commentator states, "We shall perceive the meaning and utility of the Proverbs in proportion to our experience in true religion, our acquaintance with our own hearts and with human nature, and the extent and accuracy of our observation on the character and affairs of men." So, how does that relate to you? It relates with our experience with the Word of God, our acquaintance with our own heart, how much we know our hearts, how much we know how evil our hearts are, and how bent our hearts are upon turning from the Word of God to other things. Because then when we come to the Proverbs and we read them, we see that they are to turn us back to the Lord, and our focus to be upon Him and not upon ourselves. So it's knowing our heart. And with our human nature and the human nature of man, the extent and accuracy of our observation as you observe mankind, as you observe the character and affairs of men, because you're going to do that. And as you as you are a young person, and as you begin to grow up, you are constantly observing others, and you are observing others' character and how they are. And they're striking upon you. I told Linda this week of something that my grandmother did when I was a little child and unconverted, that I saw her do, and I knew even then that was not right, something that she had done. I remember that to this day, because that smacked of her character. And it was a blemish upon her character. So, as parents, as you have your children, all of the things that you are doing, your conduct, your life, your behavior, they are examples of your character to your children and your grandchildren as they view you. All of this. And again, so we become encouragers, or we become discouragers. If we sin, we become a discourager. If we do that which is right, we become an encourager unto those that we would teach. When thou art converted, go and teach others. Is that not what you read out of Mark? Was that in Mark or was that in Acts that we just read that recently? When Jesus spoke of Peter, I believe it was. When thou art, I have prayed for you. Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat. When thou art converted, go and teach others. When we have been converted, we need to go and teach others in the way that they shall go. When we come back this evening, we will begin to break this down, the Proverbs down into three parts given to us by Charles Bridges, which most certainly has written what I would call the best commentary upon the Proverbs, and that is what I use mostly in our study of the Proverbs. So we'll begin to look at that first part tonight that extends from the opening of the book through the 9th chapter and how it breaks down. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us the Proverbs in Scripture. And we pray, Lord, for wisdom and for understanding, that we might fear God and depart from evil. May we run this over and over in our minds. When we ask for wisdom, and Lord, we so sometimes flippantly say the words, "Lord, give me wisdom." May we think of what and how it is described in the Word of God. Fear God and depart from evil. So we are asking that we might fear God and depart from evil, and then we will have wisdom. Lord, help us to understand these things so clearly. And we pray that this study in the book of Proverbs, about the book of Proverbs, about Solomon, about You, Lord, would further open our understanding as we study through and work our way systematically through this tremendous book, God-given. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.